Columbus.
Good evening, on Maple Hooter Ball, their sports update. Baseball is back in action tonight as the Cincinnati Reds are in Colorado to open a three-game series with the Rockies. Brady Singer is on the mound for the Reds, taking on Gabriel Hughes. First pitch is at 8:40. Catch all the action right here on The Fan. The Cleveland Guardians game against the Pittsburgh Pirates has been postponed due to air quality. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. The Columbus Clippers are at home tonight to start a series with Indianapolis. At the Open Championship in Southport, England, Lucas Herbert leads into the weekend with an 8-under score after tying a record for the low score in a round at a major at 62. Jackson Suber, Ryan Gerard, and Cameron Young are both two shots back at -6. Sam Burns also tied the record of 62. He sits just three shots back alongside Siwoo Kim and Bryson DeChambeau. A large group sits four shots back, including Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, and Tommy Fleetwood. And in NFL news, the league has suspended Cardinals executive Ryan Gold for violating the league's gambling policy. Bringing sports news Webbins and The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand record for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah!
This is the Buckeye Show.
As the legendary Brandon Beam would say, we're off and rolling on a Friday night on the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan. Beamer is out. I am in. I'm Austin Ward. Hanging out with the Murph Dog, Patrick Murphy, on a Friday evening. He's already thinking about dinner before we even start the show.
Yes, very much so.
Got Nate Dog, Nate Puderbaugh behind the glass. He is still recovering, maybe, from Wednesday night.
Who put this motley crew together?
Motley crew. I was just going to ask you about AC/DC. We can just get into the rock.
I am too old for C-Deck is what I discovered this week, especially in 100-degree heat.
That didn't work out?
No, it was, especially when your seats were three rows from the top.
Now, I've experienced C-Deck one time. And that was to go to a concert as well. It was Taylor Swift when she was in the Shoe.
I did that.
And that's when I realized and found a new appreciation for Ohio State fans that will fill up that level of the Horseshoe game in, game out, year in, year out, because it's terrifying up there.
Yeah. My junior year of college, we sat in the north end zone, three rows from the top. Those were our season tickets. And one time, we snuck in those airplane.
Maybe you did.
Maybe. Liquor bottles, maybe.
I think the statute of limitations has expired. You're fine, Murph.
And the police officer that stands on the flagpole up there just like looked at us and was like, just don't be weird. So we just drank those the whole game while he sat there. And
that was the suggestion from the law. Yeah. Don't be weird.
Yeah, he's like, just don't do anything stupid.
It's terrifying getting up there. And I am a person who has very large feet. And in the case of, since they're very old, you know, a very old stadium, the steps maybe cover half of my shoe.
Yeah, they're not very big.
So like, I'm having to like walk sideways to not fall over.
How was the music though?
Oh, I mean, AC/DC was great. Like, it was a great time. They started a little early, so it took a little bit to get dark. But once it did, it was like just a party for 2.5 hours.
Well, lucky for you, the smoke had not rolled in.
Yeah, right.
I am baffled by what's going on. I mean, I walked outside this morning and I looked around and I was confused. I'm like, it's very hazy, but also smells like s'mores out here. And I was like, does this burnish Columbus's reputation as the San Diego of the Midwest, or does it hurt it? I don't know, because it was so strange and weird. Had been planning. You were thinking about dinner tonight, Murph. You know, Allie and I, Lib has been at camp all week, Hidden Hollow, overnight camp. We're supposed to pick her up on Saturday morning. And I guess like 2 hours ago, we got, Allie got a Facebook notification. We didn't get a text. We didn't get an email. Hey, we're going to have to cancel the rest of camp.
What a way to communicate.
I know, but I still have not seen an email. I still have not seen a text. But they say on this Facebook post, hey, we canceled the Hidden Hollow hop, whatever their dance is for the last night. Aww. And please come get your kids right now. Get them out of here. I was like, that's not really what we had planned for Friday.
No, probably not. I was, so Sarah's alarm went off this morning, my wife, as she was getting ready for work, and I'm like half awake. She's like, hey, I need you to listen. She's like, there's this smoke, and she's explaining it, and I'm like, okay. She's like, you need to not do any outdoor activity, and the dog cannot stay outside. And I was just like, okay. We have, like, blackout curtains because she used to be a night shift nurse, and I was like, all right, this is not a big deal. Then I went downstairs when I did wake up. I was like, oh, this is real.
She wasn't lying.
No. Whatever phone app she has that tells her about smoke clarity was on today.
Didn't think that it was something that we had to monitor. I guess, you know, that camp that Liberty's at's about an hour north of here. Whatever percentage, whatever number it is, was like 301 up there. I guess we're around the 80s right now in Columbus. I don't know what that number means, but if it's three times worse up there, then I probably don't want my daughter outside at a camp with no air conditioning.
Guardians canceled baseball tonight.
Yeah,
they're not even playing.
They're closer to the fire.
The Chicago Fire was supposed to return to MLS play last night with their new signing, Lewandowski, but they had to cancel their game.
They shouldn't be allowed to ever return.
Yeah, probably not. As long as there's World Cup soccer this weekend, the game in Miami, third place game, should be fine. But the game in New York, I guess it's clearing up there, so we should be okay. But I will be very sad if they have to move the World Cup final.
That is going to be incredibly difficult, incredibly expensive. Now, I mean, if you have to do it for the health and safety of however many tickets they sold, what, 90,000?
Something like that.
You've got both of those teams. You don't want to put them in harm's way and go out there and play in smoke. Let me ask you this, because Beamer is out, and he claimed earlier in the week, Murph, I'm sure he told you the same thing that he said to me on the air. He said, if Argentina is playing Spain, I won't watch the final.
Yes.
There's no way that's true.
I don't know. Because he has said that in a couple different group chats that I am in. And we'll see what he chooses to do Sunday. But him and another one of our friends seem to be very adamant that they are not watching this game on Sunday and that the World Cup is in fact over already.
This is the same guy that before the World Cup started, before the Belgium game, both scenarios, he said, if the U.S. gets knocked out, I'm still going to be locked in. He clapped his hands and he said, I love soccer.
Right.
I love the World Cup. I'm all the way through. You can't just pull the plug because France is out. You're not even from France.
He got really mad at me last week because I had a Spain jersey on. I'm not a Spain fan by any stretch, but I have a jersey. And he was like, what are you doing
because the week before you had a France jersey on.
Yeah, I have several jerseys. I just buy them because I like them. The France jersey is new. It's a nice looking jersey, but yeah, he was very irritated by the Spain jersey.
Yeah. What are your plans for Sunday afternoon? Where are you going for that?
I will be at City Tavern.
Do you have like a residence in there? Do you get mail delivered?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than traveling for the World Cup, I have been there probably every day there's been a game.
Will they let you build an office in there?
They don't need to. There's just a seat at the bar. We have talked about, should we put plaques? There's a few other people that attend there. One, Paul Keels, is in there every once in a while.
You're not supposed to give that information away. That's,
well, you have to time it right if you're going to see him. And I'm not
saying
when he's in there. But yeah, there's a handful of regulars that show up there. And there's been talk about, should we just put plaques up so that we get our seats when we want them? I don't think it's going to happen. But yes, no, I am there a lot. And It's been great. They've really leaned into soccer. They also show Buckeye games to kind of bring it full circle here during the season. So yeah, if you're looking for something to do Sunday, should be a good time.
Yeah, who you got winning?
Spain.
Okay. If you were hoping that we would stop talking about soccer and get to Ohio State, I promise you that we are about to. It's going to be a great time catching up with Murph and talking about both football and basketball. We were at the shot on Thursday morning to hear from Jake Diebler and four freshmen. I'm not going to call them a Fab Four or anything. Those names are taken.
Yeah.
We're going to have to come up with something new.
Diebler's dudes.
Sure. I mean, he's stockpiling stars on the recruiting trail. It was great to hear from those guys, including Anthony Thompson and LJ Smith, the highlight dynamic duo there. I just came up with that. No one's ever been called a dynamic duo before. So that is still available to them. A ton of football to get into. We are inside 3 weeks until training camp starts for Ohio State at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and we are a week and a half away from Big Ten Media Day, so we'll preview all of that and so much more tonight. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan. When we come back in 2 minutes, ESPN has a big question for the Buckeyes, and Murph and I are going to decide if it's the right one. We'll be back after this.
Scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned Redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites, carefully pack everything up, and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Rico dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Air quality will improve overnight into Saturday across central Ohio with less smoke as the wind carries it away. But on Saturday, we'll start dry and sunny and then a 70% chance of a couple thunderstorms in the afternoon that could be strong, maybe severe with some gusty wind. High temp 90 degrees on Sunday, dry, sunny, a little bit of smoke and high temps in the middle 80s, dry, sunny, and nearly 90 on Monday. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is the Buckeye Show.
What a Friday night. Pumped to be hanging out with Nate Dogg and Murph. Call this a Motley Crue, Nate? I mean, we're not the A team, but, you know, we're not the C team.
I mean, Tito could be here. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you said that, not me. Read this, Murph. Just perusing around, said, what do other people think? What's the national narrative about Ohio State? I'm always curious about it because there are many off seasons, and you tell me if you disagree with this, where the national perspective on the Buckeyes and the local perspective on Ohio State are polar opposites.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
And right now, I feel like there's an interesting dynamic happening where there's a lot of concern about the difficulty of the schedule in Columbus. And then it's flipped from the usual where, like last offseason, Texas right here, Sark's got it figured out. We're going to elevate James Franklin and Penn State's going to be number one. And they'd be looking for reasons to knock the Buckeyes down. This year, I'd be like, that seems like it'd be pretty easy for them to just take the strength of schedule, the difficult gauntlet that the Buckeyes are going to face, and it having to replace, again, all these defenders for the second year in a row and be like, no, this year it's probably not sustainable for Ohio State. And then I would have said, well, okay, I don't know why. You've seen the last 50 years of college football. They're going to be okay. They're going to be really competitive, and they're one of the most talented rosters in football. But anyway, that's not what's happened. And I've found that to be really strange.
It is odd. The one exception I will say with that is Julian Sain. And forgive me if you've heard me complain about this.
No, I would like to hear you complain about it.
But the narrative of just like forgetting how good he was all season. This guy was a Heisman Trophy finalist.
I believe he finished fourth in the country.
Yeah. The only one returning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's now fourth in the Heisman odds, or at least he was last time I looked. And I just feel like he's getting overlooked considerably when they talk about these top quarterbacks. We're not talking about him for the NFL draft, maybe in a year where they're going to pick apart his size and things like that. Like, we're talking about what he can do on the college football field. And I know the last two games just in general did not go the way Ohio State wanted, and Julian didn't play great. No one really did. But the kid was Nick Saban's last quarterback recruit, right? Like, clearly there's a talent there. And I think he showed that last year. I know the schedule was not what it is this year, but you give Ryan Day an offseason with a talent like Julian Sain. I mean, we've seen it before. What more evidence do you need? But that's been up my crawl all offseason. It's just kind of, it's not even that he's being like talked down about. He's just not being talked about in the same conversation as some of these guys that I think he definitely should be.
Lots of quarterbacks played quote unquote softer schedule.
Sure.
I don't remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Murph, any of the others completing 78%
right.
of their passes.
Setting the record for regular season completion percentage.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm losing my mind, but I feel like it's a safe bet that Julian Sain is going to be wildly productive and that Ohio State is going to be in the college football playoff and a contender for the national championship. But they do check in, by the way, as I begin here. This was one big question that ESPN had for every team in their preseason top 25. Ohio State is number one in that. So it's not as if they're very skeptical or they're questioning Ohio State, even with the difficult slate that they face. But you tell me, Jake Trotter, who I think you and I both have a lot of respect for the work that he does. He works really hard. He asks good questions, and he shows up to work a lot more than some other people do. But so I like Jake Trotter, but I don't know that I necessarily agree that this is the most pressing question. You tell me what you think, Murph. So he says, for him, can Ohio State's offensive line get back to punishing the opposition? After an undefeated regular season last year, the Buckeyes got beaten up front in postseason losses to Indiana and Miami. Veteran starters Austin Saraveld, Luke Montgomery, and Carson Hensman played key roles during Ohio State's 2024 national championship run when the Buckeyes dominated the line of scrimmage in convincing victories over Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and Notre Dame. Saraveld, Montgomery, and Hensman anchor a line that needs to be much better, especially with Ohio State facing one of the toughest schedules in the country. I would not disagree that the offensive line needs to be better, and I think they will be with natural progression, a full offseason, spring camp, better health for Austin Saraveld, across the board, whatever we want to talk about. But the notion to me that was the one thing that was missing for Ohio State in the playoff just rings false. I just don't agree with it. And maybe I'm in the minority on that because I get this question a lot, and I'm sure you do too. Are they going to be better? Do they need to put Ian Moore at left tackle? Do they need to switch Austin Saraveld to right guard? What do they do with Phillip Daniels? Is he entrenched there? Could he play somewhere else? We get, more questions about the offensive line than any other position group. And I can understand why that is. But I think that they're getting too much blame for what happened in those last two games.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's what everyone remembers, right? And I guess this goes back to the Julian conversation too. Like, people remember him not being at his best because those were two games that were obviously big time games. Everyone was watching, the Miami game, the Big Ten championship, both kind of standalone games. no one else is playing because of the way the schedule worked out. So I think that has colored people's perception. Now, does the offensive line need to step it up in those bigger games? And that, like you said, there's going to be more of those this year for sure. But the one thing I get frustrated with a lot, and especially on offensive line, is players are allowed to get better in the offseason, right? That is something that they work on during the spring and winter and summer. So, like, yeah, it wasn't perfect in those games. You had Austin Saraveld playing on one leg basically most of that first half against Miami. Other guys are dealing with different injuries.
Philip Daniels needed surgery.
Yeah, I mean, just going into the locker room, I don't remember if you were in the locker room with us after the game or if you went to the other interview opportunities, but like watching the linemen just kind of move to their lockers and then try and stand back up, like those guys went through a lot. Now they're going to have to go through this season again, so like they need to be able to play through some of that. But I agree, I think if you're talking biggest question on the offense, the offensive line is certainly there. I think, you know, defense with losing eight starters again is a good place to start. And you know how you're going to replace not only eight starters, but some really good guys, some really influential guys that went very high in the NFL draft.
Yeah, three first-round picks and should have been four, in my mind, with Caden McDonald. But and we can count him that way. I think it's
sure,
allowable.
Fine.
I mean, we can make up those rules. And it does tell you how quickly and dramatically that Matt Patricia has won the benefit of the doubt, that that's not the question.
Agreed.
Because any other defense in the country, any other program, any other defensive coordinator, whatever, if they lost eight starters a year after the decimation of that group that was also number one in the country, but not only that you have that many starters gone, you also have two top seven NFL draft picks, both at linebacker. They're both gone. Mm-hmm. You lose what everyone universally considers a generational prospect for the NFL and a generational talent in college in Caleb Downs. And it's like, then you throw Caden McDonald in the net. They're just like, no, they're going to be all right. That transformation has happened very quickly. And it's also what makes it seem a little bit unusual to me that, and maybe that's why, that you take and you just disregard the previous 12 games for Ohio State's offensive line, where they were really good, including the last game of the regular season. You're talking about physically dominating your opponent. That's what they did in the Big House.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most impressive performances we'd had seen from an offensive line at Ohio State in a long time, and I'm including the playoff run before that.
Yeah, I think Michigan's defensive line, because it wasn't the big name guys that they had the last couple years, probably doesn't get, you know, you don't get the credit for that you get taken away,
right,
basically,
yeah,
for those last two. But yeah, I mean, look, you're still playing a Big Ten schedule, right? You had to go and play at Madison, right? And that place, you know how loud that is. People talk about it all the time. Like, you had to play Penn State, and I know Penn State wasn't what they were expected to be.
They're still talented.
Yeah, there's still defensive linemen that you have to block on that side of the ball. One in particular that a lot of people wanted to come play here, right? in Chaz Coleman. So, yes, I think, look, there's no doubt. Tyler Bowen talked about it after the game. The guys have talked about it since then. They did not play their best. But does that mean they can't do it again this year? I think, you know, we'll wait and see for sure, but I have been optimistic about this offensive line making progress since we really got to see them and talk to them this spring. And then you add in Arthur Smith, who is known for having offensive lines that, especially in the run game, you can really lean on to open up play action, stuff like that. Like, you just added a guy who brings even more expertise, played that position. So again, I think there's plenty of room for optimism if you choose to lean that way.
And I'm not saying that it's off base to say that Ohio State can or needs to play better on the offensive line, but to say that that's the number one issue for the Buckeyes, that's where I disagree. I think some of what we saw against Indiana and Miami, you know, was more of a collective breakdown on offense than it was specific to the offensive line. There were numerous plays, if you go back and watch, particularly against Miami, and you and I had similar vantage points behind that end zone where the run game and the holes were opened for the running backs, and they just couldn't make a guy miss, a linebacker, a second-level defender, a safety. That those are the plays that went for touchdowns when Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson were running them in 2024. There were plays where, you know, Julian Sain could have helped out by extending plays, making better decisions with the football. There's not ever going to be a game for any offensive line at any level where they win 100% of the reps and there's no pressure ever allowed. The quarterback gets to, you know, stand back there and pick his target for 10 seconds. Like, that's not reality. There are going to be times where, and even that's not even getting into the game plan and the approach and the execution down there in the red zone and in short yardage scenarios. Yeah, the offensive line is part of it, but there were four or five other things that we could talk about that we can spread it around where I don't think it has to be focused primarily on that group. But even if you did, I agree with you. You have four starters back. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be better physically. They're all going to be better in terms of experience. They're all going to be better mentally.
Yeah, and look at both of those games. Like, you miss a field goal, obviously, in the Big Ten championship game that would have tied it. You miss an opportunity down where Julian Sand fumbles. Like, that's a three-point game, right? That could have gone either way. The Miami game, you have the interception. Jeremiah Smith has taken blame for his blocking there.
Yeah.
The pick six. And, you know, I mean, I know that the game kind of gets out of hand in the second half, at least based on the score, but there are other issues, to your point, that weren't just offensive line based. And, you know, the focus on that, I think you're right, has probably gone a bit too far.
I bet we'll probably be talking about the offensive line and the offense again at some point as we roll along on the Buckeye Show tonight. But we're going to switch over to the hardwood right now. Murph was at the open practice on Thursday at the Shot, just like I was. So we'll get to his takeaways in 2 minutes on The Fan.
Those that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
We're close to Ohio State basketball, too.
Mm, not as close.
Not as close.
50 days till Ohio State football kicks off.
Well, you're closer. Well, I mean, I just mean we're there.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're closer to Ohio State basketball. Beamer and Reimer, of course. I'm trying to get back into it.
Yeah.
I was for years told, take your vacation. Don't cover Ohio State basketball. There's not enough interest in it. And I think that there was a time that was definitely correct. But it does seem like it's trending the other direction. And I give Jake DeBoer full credit for this, Murph. He's trying to capitalize on that momentum that's going in the right way. Are they full barrel there as a national title contender and every single seat is going to be filled in the Shot? Maybe not. But when you add a couple five stars, when you get to the NCAA tournament, and then you say, well, what else can we do to make sure that people are interested? And you turn that back into a home court advantage for the Buckeyes. I think what he's done over these last 7 weeks, hey, let's invite the media in. Let's have these conversations. Let's talk about the team. Let's get some FaceTime with players that maybe builds a connection with the Columbus community. I don't know how to quantify the value of it in terms of wins and losses by the time we get to late October and early November or all the way through to March, but it can't hurt.
No, it generates buzz, if nothing else, right? When there's a kind of a lull in the college sports calendar here, and even sports in general for a lot of people, I think that now you have something, we have something to talk about. We actually saw basketball practice. We talked to guys. We can write about it. We can talk about it. And I think it's a smart time to do it. As you mentioned, you know, especially these freshmen we talked to this week, like, people are interested. You know, these are five-star kids, local kids who are going to be able to participate and be a part of hopefully continuing to build under Jake DeBoer. And to your point, I don't think you can discount the work that he's put in. I don't think that was ever a question. Like, Jake loves this program. There's a reason he's been a part of it twice and wanted to come back and all that. So you knew he was going to bust his butt to get this program as high as it can be.
Yeah.
Could he do it? That's the question. I think we're seeing positive signs. It's moving in the right direction. Now, he's obviously got some challenges with NIL and rev share and all that. But I think he's doing everything he can right now to move it in an appropriate direction so that people do want to go out to those games. People do want to talk about it. It's never going to be Ohio State football. We know that. The Greg Oden, Mike Conley, some of those teams, like, they still took a back seat to Buckeye football. But people cared once Buckeye football was done or in the weekdays when there were games on. It's like, hey, let's watch Conley and Oden play. And that has not been the case in quite some time.
But I think there was a part that you mentioned there about NIL and the size of financial commitment that will exist for Ohio State basketball. And in terms of coming directly from the university, it can't. Mm-hmm. It just can't
divert
those resources from football. Football runs everything here. And it is funded at the highest possible level to compete for national championships on a year-in, year-out basis. And I'm not saying it's impossible, although it's extremely difficult. And you look around the country, there are not many, if any, universities that are able to do both at the same time for any extended period of time. So there will always be some element of Jake DeBoer and Ohio State needing to do, quote-unquote, more with less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not nothing. What's the way that they can work around that? I think this is where maybe the summertime connections, the exposure of the program, whether that's Anthony Thompson, LJ Smith coming in as freshmen, whether that is the established presence of a Bynum or a Junie Mobley, whatever it is, if that becomes news coverage, sports coverage, radio coverage, Bucknuts coverage, wherever, however many times their names are mentioned, and then they go out and do other things in the community, that brand name recognition beyond the block O for the players could be a way that you open up the door for more NIL for your program. So some of this is about home court advantage in Columbus and community connection and the state of basketball in Ohio. And some of it, I think, is also a recognition that if you're going to elevate those resources and it's finite from within the program, what's the other way around that? It's exposure for your program.
Yeah, and the season ended earlier than they would have liked. Jake was quickly on a plane to go down, I believe it was down in Florida, with Brian Schottenstein to sort of grease the wheel with some potential NIL people, things like that. Like, that's not a thing that we thought head coaches were going to be doing, 5 years ago, right?
No.
Or whenever it was. And Ryan Day has to do the same thing. It's just, you can walk in any door as Ryan Day, whereas as Jake is still working his way up and getting invited to some of those parties, so to speak. But the best way to do it is win, right? People are going to watch you when you have success. That was obvious last year as we got to the end of the season, some of those bigger games, the Big Ten tournament, and then obviously the NCAA tournament. But if you can build on last year, people are going to invest and, is it going to be Ohio State football? No, but it can get back to where you are doing more with less, and maybe you have more of that less, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that when you look at this roster and those two 5-star freshmen that I named, mm-hmm. plus you have a pretty nice complement with that, with two other guys that are new to the program as well. We did ask Jake DeBoer about that on Thursday morning, Nate Dogg, and I think Jake DeBoer's pretty encouraged by what he's seen this summer.
Yeah, well, I think both of those guys offensively are dynamic. They got an ability to stretch the floor. You saw a little bit of that. I think they're improving in some of the other stuff. Like, the big thing for us talking to Anthony is being active on the glass. He's getting better at that. LJ, getting in the paint. He's getting better at that. So giving them kind of one thing to focus on 1 week at a time, we've seen them make strides that way. And then I think defensively, as is with all freshmen, there's a learning curve. Those guys have great instincts. Like, Anthony has an ability to erase some mistakes and get up and protect the rim. LJ's got really good instincts off the ball. So we're just growing in that stuff. That takes time, but I've been impressed with the progress. Alex and Vuk, same thing. Like, both of those guys, I'd say their offense is ahead of their defense, but we're getting there.
Murph, what was the most interesting thing you saw on Thursday morning?
Other than loud buzzers during Jake's availability?
I think we do need to get with the champ, Gary Pettit, and say, you know, we love this access, but maybe in the hallway, with a table to put down the microphone. Because that was the other part. You had the buzzer going on, and then Jake Diebler was laughing because all the television stations had to, you know, put on the wireless mics, the lapel mics, run it up through everyone's shirt. He had like 7 microphones on him. He looked like he was a machine. He was a robot with mics just sticking out from everywhere.
Yeah, I believe Dylan Davis took a picture for him to make sure he looked okay because he was going to be on camera. But no, I think, look, there's only so much to take from this. It's still very early, right? I mean, Jake is literally stopping drills to walk guys, and not just the freshmen, guys that are new to the program. And he mentioned this at one point, like, there are some habits that guys have that came from other programs that they're trying to break, whether that's because it doesn't fit with what they want to do or things that they think are not, you know, positive. So it's very early in this process. I think you can see the potential of these young guys, and I think there's a reason they're excited, and fans should be excited about not just Anthony Thompson and LJ Smith, but Alex Smith. You know, his 1 year playing at prep, prolific prep, I think is going to help him, as Jake talked about, getting used to college ball as opposed to playing at Upper Arlington. And nothing against Upper Arlington, as I would never say anything negative about the Golden Bears.
I feel like you two were having a moment.
We did chat
talking about the UA 4th of July.
Yes, we did. But yeah, LJ Smith is going to need some time, I think. Like, the talent is definitely there, but he should be going into his senior year of high school. And then Vuk, as we're calling him, Lazarevic, I believe.
I think we just go with Vuk. He's a one-name guy.
Yeah, he's like Madonna.
He's like
Prince.
Ronaldo.
Pele. Yeah. Messi. Like, that's an interesting player. You know, I don't know how much, what his role will be this year, but we saw, you know, with two of the other big men that weren't there, like, there were some positive signs of a guy who, you know, can play some ball. Now, what is it like when everybody's, you know, in attendance? I think he probably falls down the pecking order a little bit, but that's okay. He's a young player, and, you know, he wasn't a five-star kid or anything like that, but there are things I think that can be worked on there.
Yeah. Speaking of NIL solutions, Ohio State found one there of sending those two big men up to Montreal so that they could make some money. It is so complicated for when you're bringing guys in from overseas, what they can do on their visas. So they were late getting back from Montreal on Thursday. It gave Vuk an opportunity not just to talk with us, but also to show off a little bit on the court. Now, maybe a different courtroom north of the border. I don't know what is going on in Ann Arbor. We're going to try and figure that out next on the Buckeye.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Was voted best talk radio personality by Columbus Monthly readers. Catch Bobby daily on Morning Chew, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Fan's YouTube channel, the Fan app, and on demand on the 10 TV streaming app. Oh, and Tito's there too.
The future for recycling is now at Rumpke Waste and Recycling. The recycling leader has opened North America's largest, most technologically advanced recycling center right here in Central Ohio. This one-of-a-kind facility features interactive displays, educational opportunities, and the ability to process over 60 tons of recycled material per hour. Rumpke is committed to recycling and sustainability efforts. And for more than 90 years, Rumpke has worked to make sure the items you place in your recycling bin get used again. Visit Rumpke.com to learn how you can team with Rumpke to put less trash in our landfills and more of it to good use. We'll be right back.
As America's largest custom home builder, Schumacher Homes believes a top-quality home should be affordable for everyone in the Buckeye State. We work with the leading architects to bring you the latest in design, and then you have the ability to make changes. Not just selecting finishes, but moving walls, adding rooms, literally customizing anything from the ground up. It's a misconception that custom homes have to be expensive. We work within your budget to build an amazing home on your land. Visit SchumacherHomes.com or any of our 9 Ohio locations.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Update from the desk of the Dottie Pepper Champion Golfer of the Year. We're talking about, you know, just some suggestions. They're constructive criticism, mildly constructive criticism. Gary Pettit's always open to ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, we start this from a place of love. We greatly appreciate the summer content, the access, the practice window. Love to see Ryan Day do some of that.
That would be great.
That'd be very cool. Also, one of the reasons why we love June recruiting camps, because sometimes that can bleed over into OTA activities.
Yeah.
But so Gary heard our suggestion. But it was too late. He didn't even need it.
He'd already been on top of it.
He said he sent a screenshot. He had ordered the Gator multi-mic holder. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's going on a podium, if it's a new addition to a table that's going to go into the practice facility. I don't know. But he said, literally ordered one of these with the mic stand right after interviews on Thursday. No more robot shirt for Jake.
Yeah, I just really appreciate Gary for tuning in when he knows we're on the air. So at least there's one listener out there.
Well, I think, you know, he was wanting some basketball coverage on the radio. We've got him covered for that.
Yeah.
Lots of coverage going on up in Michigan. A lot of coverage, Murph, that I don't understand.
Agreed.
It has been a strange week. And I'm going to read you a couple headlines and some of the more choice quotes from the last 24 hours. Dan Wetzel was covering the University of Michigan's Board of Regents meeting on Thursday, one where we all expected that probably Ward Manuel would be relieved of his athletic director duties, whether that was from a buyout, negotiated ending, a firing. I don't know. We just all thought that was building, especially when he decided to go on radio, Ward Manuel, on Tuesday and be like, I'm going to be here today. I'm going to be here tomorrow. Like, I don't know what you're doing and why you decided that this was a good week for you to go do a softball interview about your future, but he did anyway. According to Dan Wetzel, a source told ESPN, there's currently no timetable on determining Ward Manuel's future, nor releasing any, if at all, of the $12 million investigation into the athletic department's culture from Chicago law firm Jenner and Block. I wonder if we should swing by there, check out their offices in a couple weeks.
Yeah, good
Jenner
point.
And Block have all kinds of media swinging through Chicago. This came then from MLive.com and Sam Jane. And this is what really I found truly bizarre, Murph. University of Michigan president Domenico Grasso told MLive on Thursday that he believes Ward Manuel remains one of the best athletic directors in the country, offering a public vote of confidence amid questions about Manuel's future. How can you be spending $12 million on one hand, investigating the culture of the athletic department, which, by the way, Ward Manuel is in charge of?
That is what athletic director means, I think.
In the midst of other lawsuits related to his handling of said culture from the affair and abortion and attacked victim of your former football coach who had asked for released records related to that relationship that Michigan found, including Ward Manuel and Sharon Moore, and withheld. And then the Wall Street Journal found even more, apparently, a handwritten note from 2 full years ago, which to me sounds like the smoking gun in this whole scenario that's only related to one out of 15 scandals that are going on at Michigan right now. And the president's, this new president's just like, No, man, we're cool. We're totally cool here. He's the best in the biz. He's just, check out those trophies over there. We got no issues at all.
I was going to say, they have won two national championships in the biggest sports recently. But both of those coaches quickly departed, you might have realized.
I did. And why did they do that, you think, Murph?
I don't know. I think they just, you know, had better offers to go pro.
Out of the goodness of their heart?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's one theory. I've been talking about this and thinking about it all week. And I know that maybe it seems like it's not even that big of a deal because Ward Manuel, Michigan, they're as an athletic department, every time they have one of these things happen, it feels like they fall backwards into an upgrade, which is what they did with Sherron Moore to Kyle Whittingham, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That might not happen with Dusty May. I don't know. It's probably less likely to happen for basketball, but they have discovered a nice pool of NIL revenue that is covering up for a lot of those other mistakes. It is making it easier for them to recruit. They have certainly not faced overwhelming penalties from the NCAA for some of the things that they actually did against rules, not laws, but they have obviously broken both of those across this. So if they lost their athletic director, would that break Michigan's athletic department? Of course not. And he's not going to coach football and he's not going to coach basketball. And the money is still going to be there for them to build out their roster unless Larry Ellison gets divorced. But I don't know how likely or not likely that is, but they would find other boosters anyway. So I can understand why there would be people saying this is just not a big deal. It's embarrassing for Michigan, and it should embarrass their university, considering how often you and I have heard in our lifetimes about the morality mm-hmm. of that university.
Michigan men.
Yeah, it's an interesting mantra that they have up there. I'm not sure what it actually stands for in practice anymore, but all that's to say, are they going to be penalized by the Big Ten, by the federal government, by anyone certifying the diplomas in Ann Arbor? Like, it seems pretty unlikely, in which case you'd say, well, who cares if they lose their athletic director? I think it's a big deal that this is the way that they are approaching every single sport, like not just trying to bend rules, but laws.
Yeah. I mean, look, the easy way to sort of calm this is to move on, right? Wouldn't that be like, hey, this is the guy who was behind all this. We're moving on from this. We'll deal with what comes, but let's start over with somebody new, sort of what they've done in both sports.
Yeah.
But I think Ward Manuel is a fine athletic director. Don't get me wrong, at least from before we knew all of this, but like there are other guys out there that would be a coveted job, even if they are going to be in trouble. So the, at least right now, the insistence that, hey, we're sticking with this guy, seems pretty preposterous to me, and I think you would agree here.
To the outside, it looks preposterous to them. Like the last 4 years, you're not being punished. You're winning championships. You did nothing wrong.
Fair.
But everyone else is telling them you are.
What do they care? Were they punished in any way for it? No. Are they winning? Yes. They're doing the right thing.
But I know what you're saying, Nate, and it's a
terrible way to look at it, but that is the way pretty much Michigan fans across the board look at it.
And they also, I think, have very much adopted that charge it to winning. They did face penalties. They paid $27 million in fines, Murph, from the Connor Stallion situation, right, from the recruiting violations. Like, and I guess if that's the cost that you have to pay to win a championship and you don't actually care about morality or being holier than every other program in the country and being able to look down upon them anymore, and you've just decided that you're fine mixing it up in the mud, I guess you just have to deal with that. But you can't have it both ways. You can't on the one hand claim that you are the moral bastion of college athletics and still employ Ward Manuel. You can't do both of those things.
No, you definitely cannot. And I think that's where you're kind of stuck right now, is you want this Michigan man label to continue, but to Nate's point, they haven't really done enough to punish Michigan so that it feels like, hey, we have to do something, right? Like, yeah, we'll pay the fines and whatnot, but he's right. Like, they are winning. At least, that you know, they were winning in football. They have been winning in basketball. You know, it is interesting, I think, when you get, and I don't know the background on Michigan's president, but a lot of times they're not sports people, right? So, like, coming out to back something like this isn't a sports decision. This is a president of the university who may or may not be a sports guy. I admit I don't know, but this is not like, hey, he's done such a great job helping us win that we need to keep him.
I had someone, I was talking to a Michigan fan recently. I was like, it's like they got fined $30 million. And his response was, Ohio State spends $30 million on their football team every year. What's the difference?
More than that, probably.
Well, I don't have enough time to break down the difference in those two things, but we will have a second hour of the Buckeye Show. We'll kick it off with the Pulse, which has a former Ohio State quarterback who is cashing in at his new home. That is next.
Take your business to the next level. Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State team shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening, on May Putter Ball, their sports update. Baseball is back in action tonight as the Cincinnati Reds are in Colorado to open a three-game series with the Rockies. Brady Singer is on the mound for the Reds, taking on Gabriel Hughes. First pitch is at 8:40. Catch all the action right here on The Fan. The Cleveland Guardians game against the Pittsburgh Pirates has been postponed due to air quality. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. The Columbus Clippers are at home tonight to start a series with Indianapolis. At the Open Championship in Southport, England, Lucas Herbert leads into the weekend with an 8-under score after tying a record for the low score in a round at a major at 62. Jackson Suber, Ryan Gerard, and Cameron Young are both 2 shots back at minus 6. Sam Burns also tied the record of 62. He sits just 3 shots back alongside Siwoo Kim and Bryson DeChambeau. A large group sits 4 shots back, including Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, and Tommy Fleetwood. And in NFL news, the league has suspended Cardinals executive Ryan Gold for violating the league's gambling policy. Bringing sports news weapons to The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Last year at this time, Murph, we were talking about Lincoln Kienholz competing with Julian Sain to be Ohio State's starting quarterback.
I remember this.
This summer, he's signing a lucrative NIL deal with Louisville. Nate Dogg, that kicks us off in the Pulse here.
Lincoln Kienholz, the starting quarterback, or expected starting quarterback at Louisville this season, has inked a six-figure NIL deal with Adidas, according to On3. He's valued at over $2 million in NIL. Not bad for Lincoln.
Pretty good, in fact. I think that we would all maybe take a deal like that if it was offered to us.
I would take $2 million.
It is a reminder as well. Like that, I don't know how often you were accused of this, Murph. Feels like 10 years ago and not 1 year ago. But you know, Julian Sayin was not named the starting quarterback heading into Big Ten Media Days, heading into training camp a year ago. And that wasn't a lack of confidence necessarily in him. It was a lot of faith in Lincoln Kienholz, who was in the midst of earning Iron Buckeye status, who has some of the dual threat ability that we had seen from Will Howard and the size. Now, the arm talent, the accuracy between those two, there was always a wide gap. But it was the leadership, it was the athleticism, it was all those things that really gave Ryan Day and Billy Fessler and Brian Hartline something to think about at quarterback. And, you know, for me, I'm really interested to see what that looks like for Lincoln Kienholz when he has the reins full-time for another program. Would the regular season have gone the exact same way for Ohio State if he had been the starter? I don't think so. I fully expected throughout the year, even if I said that the battle was going to go into training camp, at no point did I think that Julian Sayin was not going to win the job. I always thought that he was, and that he was the right guy for that offense. But that didn't mean that you had to discount what Lincoln Kienholz could have provided for Ohio State.
No, and I think Buckeye fans' major memory of Lincoln Kienholz is not a good one, right, in that Missouri game. And that's not fair to him.
It certainly wasn't.
But that's what they saw. You know, they don't, unfortunately, they don't get to see some of the stuff we do. And so you kind of have to take our word for it that, like, hey, there's a talented player there, despite what you saw when he was thrust into action and not really prepared for that game against Missouri. And if you think back on that, he did get better as that game went on, but it was also a makeshift offensive line. And a lot of guys, whether they'll tell you this or not, probably didn't really want to play in that game because of how the regular season ended. So, this is
he wasn't supposed to play.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, they prepared Devin Brown to be that guy, right? So I think this is a good opportunity for Lincoln. I think that he did right staying with Ohio State for as long as he did and continuing to fight. You know, not that I'm blaming anyone who decides to jump in the transfer portal, but like he competed. His first opportunity wasn't, hey, let's go somewhere else. So I think now he has an opportunity to showcase what he can do. He has an opportunity to make some money, more than some money, actually.
Pretty good amount.
Like, you know, he may not have been the starting quarterback here, but like Adidas isn't just handing out six figures if they don't think for no reason.
Yeah, the kid's a talented quarterback. Is he Julian Sayin? Probably not, but that doesn't mean he can't be successful at Louisville.
Well, and you said in the first hour of the Buckeye Show, Murph, that when you think about Julian Sayin in the conversation, like whatever his NFL prospects are and whatever that evaluation is going to be doesn't have anything to do with how he might succeed at Ohio State and how far he might take the Buckeyes this year. The same can be true for Lincoln Kienholz.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of pure passing ability, I don't think he's ever going to wow NFL talent evaluators. But he's not trying to win NFL games right now. He's trying to win college football games for Louisville. And his athleticism, it's going to be a difference maker. I thought there were... I don't love the specialized red zone packages for quarterbacks. I never have. Whether that was Tate Martell, whether that was Devin Brown, even if it, when it was JT Barrett, when he was behind Cardale Jones. I don't like it. I think your quarterback is your quarterback is your quarterback. But if that's something that Ryan Day was considering, and we know that he was, he used Lincoln Kienholz a handful of times, some successful, some strange. But, you know, I thought there was maybe an opportunity to use that more because what was some of the issues that popped up? What were some of those issues that popped up? The quarterback sneaks, the finishing drives in the red zone, the physicality and the size and athleticism and speed of Lincoln Kienholz maybe could have been a bigger factor for Ohio State than it was. I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback this thing. It's just if you had that level of confidence, which we know that Ryan Day did, maybe that could have helped in a different way down the stretch.
Yeah, it definitely could have. And to use an example and not to compare the two, but another Louisville quarterback in Lamar Jackson. When he was there, it wasn't pass first, right?
No.
And they won some games, and he won a Heisman Trophy. Not to say that that's going to be Lincoln Kienholz. I don't want to put that on him, and they're not the same athlete.
No, you
athlete.
Just did. It's on the record.
But, like, there are ways to win games with quarterbacks that aren't the most polished of passers, at least at this point. Could Ohio State have used that more? Sure. I agree with you. Like, I'd rather you work on stuff with Julian Sayin and get him better at those situations. But when you're trying to win football games, you got to do what you got to do. And you know, Lincoln got some shots, I guess, in those packages. But I will be watching Louisville football this year from time to time to check in on how Lincoln's doing.
Yeah, me too. Nate Dogg, what else you got?
Earlier in the show, ESPN was questioning the quality of Ohio State's offensive line. CBS might think differently. They put out their top 10 offensive line list because it is, of course, list season here in college football. Their top five offensive lines for the upcoming year. Number five, Oklahoma. Number four, the Texas Longhorns. Number three, Kentucky. There's one you don't hear all the time. Number one was Georgia. Number two, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
How about that?
They might be okay.
It seems like I said it was national narratives versus local narratives. Now we just we have national bickering over if Ohio State is good enough on the offensive line. It is a reminder of your point, because you can use the last two games to make any argument you want about Ohio State. The offense was broken. The running backs weren't performing well enough. Even Jeremiah Smith didn't make enough impact. The offensive line wasn't physical enough. That's the smallest of small sample size. Yes, it was against the best competition that Ohio State faced. But if you zoom out and you take all 14 games into account and you take in the injury scenario late in the year, if you take that into play, if you see the play calling and the game and the scheme and the approach and the disruption of that coaching staff, and then you combine that with multi-years of starting experience for Carson Hensman, Austin Saraveld, Luke Montgomery, a full year for Philip Daniels, the highly touted recruiting success and physical development for an Ian Moore, a Josh Padilla, a Gabe Van Sickle. There is so much to like. Again, you could say, well, you're making too much out of that level of experience. It's not good experience. All right. I mean, we'll just argue about that, I guess. But I feel good about the standing that I'm on. I believe this offensive line is going to be really dominant. And I guess I have to side with CBS over ESPN right now.
Yeah, well, and the person who wrote this, Blake Brockermeyer, former Texas offensive lineman who played in the NFL. So maybe
knows
a thing or two about O-line play. I don't want to rehash everything we said earlier, but I do think that experience, and we sort of touched on that, like that's really valuable. And I know Bill Landis asked about this during spring to some of the coaching staff, and I think that is something that's just getting overlooked. Like, yeah, they played to what you just said about like it wasn't great experience. College football is college football. To know what you're going into, and especially to have the experience of we didn't play well. Now we got that film. Like we know what we did wrong. Let's fix that. That you've had a whole offense to sit on that and try and get better. And I think that in and of itself is really valuable for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it makes any sense to denigrate everything that they accomplished. They held Texas and that vaunted defensive line at bay to start the year with a reconfiguration of that lineup, and they bulldozed Michigan in the last week of the regular season. I don't think that should be thrown away, and it feels like often that is. Now, all that is to say, we broke this down in hour number one of the Buckeye Show. You can catch back up on all that on the 97.1 The Fan YouTube channel or anywhere you get your audio podcast downloaded. You can play better, but they're not coming from a start of they're at step one of this process. They had two bad games. Yes, they weren't solely their fault. They can get better. They're coming at this from a level of experience, physicality, coaching that few offensive lines anywhere in the country can match.
Yeah. And that, again, lots of programs in the country would beg to have the experience that these guys have coming back.
All right, you got one more, Nate?
One more, just throw another little curveball here. We've talked very often about what the drop-off for Indiana is going to be after winning the national title. The floor, however, is unquestionably forever raised, as evidenced by the fact Indiana has landed its first ever five-star recruit in 120 years. This is the first time getting Monshon Sailes, the number one wide receiver in the 2027 class, beating Ohio State for a wide receiver.
And Texas and Oregon Alabama. And Alabama. This is, it's a new world order, man. I don't know. Nate, you know how I feel about it. I still feel like they have to prove that that is sustainable in the long term. And I give them full credit for what they've done in the first 2 years over Kurt Cignetti. And now heading into year three and winning a recruitment of this, it is nothing to scoff and sneeze at. It's significant. They have stepped up their financial investment. They have stepped up competitively. They've stepped up the coaching staff. Like, all that is great for Indiana. And they've become a new thorn in the side for Ohio State. I don't think that the Buckeyes in the last couple weeks really felt confident that this was a recruitment they were going to win. But they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They tried.
Yeah, for sure. I was listening to you guys when you and Berm had Mick Walker on last night. And sort of Mick had to like bring it back to this, right? Like, it was almost glossed over because it seemed like Ohio State was kind of out of this. And I agree with what Mick said, and I don't claim to be the recruiting guru that either him or Berm are, but...
Yeah, me either.
The focus seems to be, hey, we've got a talent group of receivers right now. Let's use some of that money that I assume went into... That could have gone in this direction.
Yes.
To help in other areas.
Would have had to.
Yeah, right. So, Indiana, I just looked this up, still has the 30th ranked class in the country. So, like... This is a big deal for Indiana, no doubt about it. But it's not like it's elevated. You know, the national championship has elevated them to a top 10 recruiting class or anything. At least right now. Maybe it does in the future if they can continue it.
Even a 30 for by Indiana standards is pretty darn good.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you wanted to poke holes in it, you could say, well, he grew up an hour from there. He's down the road. It's, you know, it's a 5-star going to Indiana.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. It's never happened. Can that be a habit? I think that's another thing. You have to continue to prove it. And that's, I don't think it's out of bounds to be skeptical of that with Indiana. But they won a big recruitment. They won a national championship. And, you know, there's still 5 months that they have to hold on to Majin Sales from here. But no one's taking that national championship away from them.
I did see somebody make a joke earlier that what will Kurt Cignetti do with a guy like this? He's not a seventh-year senior, which I thought was clever.
It's a different approach.
Yeah,
gonna take a different style. We'll see how he can pull that off. There'll probably be a few people asking him about that in a couple weeks in Chicago. Murph and I will be there. Let's call this a few thoughts Friday as Murph and I get ready for Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We're gonna preview it a little bit early when we come back on the Buckeye Show on the Fixer.
For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes, but not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt as a team like no other. Giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Things are popping at Al's Delicious Popcorn. With over 80 flavors to choose from, we have something for everyone. From classics like caramel cashew, white cheddar, and our famous vanilla butternut, to new flavors like chicken and waffles and spicy barbecue. They are all made fresh and they are all delicious. Visit us online at alspopcorn.com or come see us and experience the best service in town at 1500 Bethel Road in Columbus. Al's Delicious Popcorn.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We could see a storm early tonight across central Ohio, then turning drier overnight. The smoke will get moved out of here with better air quality by Saturday morning. Low temp tonight at 74 on Saturday. Sunshine early, then a 70% chance of a couple thunderstorms in the afternoon, which could be strong to severe. Highs around 90. Dry, sunny on Sunday. A little bit of smoke and 84. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to The Buckeye Show.
The Buckeye Show is brought to you by our friends at CareSource. I'm Austin Ward, hanging out with my dude, Pat Murphy. Got Nate Dogg behind the glass. I don't want to say my guy, because Beam keeps throwing that around.
Yeah.
It's like, I got my guy, Austin Ward. I got my guy, Jay-Z. My guy, Murph.
Hey, he's got a lot of guys.
And I told him, I said, that doesn't really check out. That's kind of ruining the English language.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have at least a pecking order.
Yeah, just
call him something else.
We just don't feel special that way. Right?
I don't. Like, maybe one of us can be a pal, and the other guy can be, you know, my buddy.
Look, I've told Beam a lot. He likes to do things like text, like, hey, what are you doing? This was more before he had a child or two children.
Or
now.
Two?
Yeah. Hey, what are you up to? Oh, da 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 da. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, you want to come? You want to meet up? You want to do something? No, just checking in.
That's nice of him.
It was nice, but it would drive me up a wall. And so if I'm lower on the pecking order because of that, because I used to yell at him about that, that's fine.
Might have changed things. I also feel like right now, because I know that Murph is hungry.
Yeah.
And we didn't put this on. For some reason, the USA Network was on in the studio when we walked in. I don't know what was. I guess maybe it was the golf on USA earlier. I hope that was the case. I don't remember who was broadcasting in the afternoon wave, but right now they've got Braun Strowman's food eating show, everything on the menu. And we keep hearing during the breaks, a fun casual joint, Nicole Cox talking about the Roosters food. You were hungry before we even started.
Yeah.
And now this is staring you in the face. The sandwiches that Braun Strowman was just putting down. I feel like I need one of that, but that looks like you right now. Everything that this restaurant has, that's bring it out. I must have it.
I would be great. It would be great if we could have some food here for the breaks. We did that last summer when we did shows over at Yogi's. I know you did.
Oh, yeah. I got to fill in for a couple of those.
Yeah, they were great.
We got to bring that back.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything this summer. I think we're probably too far at this point. But those were awesome.
I think those trickled over into the season. Weren't we giving away tickets?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe we were. Maybe.
That first, maybe into the first week against Texas, I think there might have been one.
Yeah, that sounds right. Maybe we can get Nicole to have us out there and we can have some Friday night wings instead. I know we'll be eating well in Chicago. Well, Windy City week is on the way. You're going to be at every day of Big Ten Media Days, correct?
Yes, I will be there all 3 days.
Okay, that's too much for me. Yeah, that's overload.
Fair. That's a fair way to do it.
I was even debating, you know, Berm and I were making, you know, our plans, our travel plans, our coverage plans. I was like, do we have to go to Tony Petitti? Should we do that? Well, if he talks once a year at most, I don't feel like we can miss it, especially, you know, as the Big Ten has taken such an active role in the college football playoff expansion. I'd love to hear his newest pitch for why a billion teams makes sense for the college football playoff.
Him and the FIFA president both love expanding these things.
Not the kind of company that anybody wants to keep. So we'll go over for that on Tuesday. I still haven't seen a time schedule for when good old Tony Petitti will be speaking. Seems like that's normally in the morning.
Yeah.
We've got the Buckeyes on Wednesday this year, a day two. They, I think, probably came to the conclusion it's not in their best interest to have Ohio State and the commissioner on the same day, because in that case, I'm out of there. I'm done.
Right.
I don't need it. So they've broken that up. So I will have to stay for two different days of coverage out there. How do you feel about returning to Chicago, and how do you feel about being there during Lollapalooza?
I do think it's interesting timing. I don't know if they were aware of Lollapalooza's
Lakeshore, like, very badly.
We're right there.
But like, how can they not? Yeah, we won't be able to avoid it. And like, the hotels everywhere are outrageously expensive.
Yep. And the media hotel, so behind the curtain here, like, you get an email with a link to a media hotel, and that filled up
immediately. Couldn't get in there.
Yeah.
Are you in there?
I don't want to answer that question.
Sounds like yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Quick on the trigger.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Nate, everyone has access to a calendar, and the Big Ten headquarters are in Chicago. I think they know what Lollapalooza is.
You can't get any Ubers at night. Believe me, I've done this many times.
Maybe we'll just go to Lollapalooza one night.
They've just messed with a good thing. And somebody asked me the other day, like, well, what do you think about them moving it to Chicago? I was like, well, it's going back to its spiritual home.
Right.
Like, the first 11 years of Big Ten Media Days, when I started covering Ohio State, they were always in Chicago. I know I'm treading dangerously close to press box snob territory here, but you know, there was a certain Big Ten-ness to it being in downtown Chicago, assuming that it wasn't overlapping with major events with millions of people going through downtown. You know, at the Marriott, it worked out fine. The first time they moved it to this Hilton, where this convention center, you know, the players were having to walk like a mile between Radio Row and to this spot to do a hit with Fox, and over here to go do CBS, and then you're at the podium, and it's in this other building over here. I thought, oh, good. We're never going to have to deal with this again. When they left Chicago and they put it in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, said, this is actually perfect. You're doing it, and you saw other leagues copy that. When you've looked around and you saw the Big 12 at Jerry World, or you know, teams going to, you know, Vegas like we had last year, and sometimes they'd be in Allegiant, or you know, the SEC is different. They have their hotel convention center in Birmingham.
With the fans.
So with the fans standing in the lobby, and in the world's coldest press conference room. I'm glad I don't have to go to that anymore. Thank goodness for that. But, you know, it felt like football. And I loved it when it was in Indianapolis, even though you and I go to Indy like six times a year, feels like. I'm trying not to complain about the Chicago part. Now I've done it for five
I just
months.
Looked at where the event is taking place. Yeah. Good luck to your sons.
Oh, yeah. We're in trouble. You will never hear me complain about that or any other event being in Indianapolis. And I tell people all the time, Indianapolis is great, you know, especially for big events, but like,
it's built for big events.
Yeah. And you know, it's similar to Columbus. They're different, but like similar vibes. Like if you're just there on a weekend or whatever. But the convenience for us, a quick, easy 3-hour drive. We know everything because we've been there so many times. Like, you'll never hear me complain about that. I was okay with Vegas last year. Like, it was a different thing. If you want to do that every 5-10 years, especially with teams out on the West Coast. Now, I do remember last year talking to one of our Oregon writers at 24/7 Sports, and he was like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't help us. The plane ride here is almost as long as it is to Indy. Like, it's a few more or another hour, but like, it only really helps the two LA teams because they're the closest.
Right.
But yeah, I'm okay if you want to move it every once in a while. Chicago, better. I mean, Lollapalooza is around the same time every year, right, Nate? So like,
yeah, basically right around then.
So you're going to run into this potentially. And there's also other things that happen in Chicago. So I like Chicago. I think it's a great city to, especially in the summer. But like for what we're doing, I don't know if it makes the most sense.
It's like Tony Petitti wants to make covering the Big Ten as difficult and painful as possible. That's what it feels like.
Well, and especially now and again, this is going to sound very complainy, but in a college football conference where you're flying across the country multiple times, like, again, woe is us, but people are paying for these things, you know, especially a year where Ohio State is doing a lot of traveling and long traveling, you know, the, I've said I think there should be something that helps out with this college football playoff stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, major outlets, even major outlets, are still trying to figure out how do we make this work financially when, you know, now, okay, you've probably got two games you got to get to a year that are further than they used to be. Now you've got multiple games in the college football playoff. Like, you know, I don't know how sustainable it is for people, outlets, to cover everything like they used to, and what readers, listeners expect when, you know, the cost is getting more and more and more and more.
And then, you know, think about that from a family perspective.
Yeah.
Where it's not, you know, Ohio State was at the forefront of trying to get that stipend done for families to go to college football playoff games, but that's not going to cover everything, especially if you have, you know, a family, an extended family, 8, 10, 12 people that all want to be there to celebrate the accomplishments. And that bill is continuing to run up, and that's going across it. Fans, family members, the last person in the world you need to feel sorry for are media members. I understand Correct. That, and I will put my hand up and yep. admit that needs to be the case, but there's no reprieve coming for those, especially for fans. And if they have to go to four games to support their team the way that they want to.
When do you go to the Texas game?
How do you
game?
Pick? Yeah.
Do you go out to USC where they haven't played since?
Yeah, don't go to USC.
No, but I just, you know, Oregon and Washington the last couple of years, like you really have to pick. And I've talked with friends about this that are big Buckeye fans, just like, well, I'd like to go to this game, but there's also this game. And I'm thinking about the college football playoff, and it's just a lot.
All right. We'll try to put the press box snob away for a little bit and embrace what's still been going on in the Schottenstein Center. What are realistic expectations for the five-star freshman at Ohio State? More hoops in 2 minutes on the Buckeye Show.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from Pillows Soft, plush, dual feel, and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Are we drinking the scarlet and gray Kool-Aid? You bet we are. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
What's better than one five-star, Murph?
Two five-stars.
Two five-stars is better. Got to talk to both Anthony Thompson and LJ Smith on Thursday at the Shot. And this reclassification, how much of a surprise was it to you that LJ Smith's like, you know what, I'm ready right now? And Jake Thiem was like, all right, come on down. Because there was some, I think, reluctance on both sides maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And, you know, that changed, you know, maybe on one half around March. And then the other half is like, well, yeah, there's a roster spot still out here. Haven't found something that makes a ton of perfect sense in the transfer portal. Let's just move this up. And it took them a while to get to that point, but it still felt at least mildly surprising to me.
Yeah, I think when it first, you first started to get wind of it, like you said, a handful of months ago, it was like, okay, you see this from time to time. Now, part of the equation now is the money and the NIL and all that, like how we kind of expected this in a year. We'd sort of earmarked
budgeted for it,
right?
Yeah.
And now I don't assume that LJ and his family and representatives were like, we'll take less money to come early. Maybe he did, I don't know that for sure, but
I suspect he did not,
probably not. But I do, you know, so I think that's part of it. And then from his side of it, you know, are you ready for that? You've got to finish classes and you know, enroll at Ohio State. So that he had to do in like a month.
We sometimes forget about that part.
Yes, that's still a part of this. For how much longer, I'm not sure. But they do still have to enroll in classes. So I think it was surprising. Now, as it kind of progressed and it kind of came and went, like you said, it was still sort of floating out there. So it was like, this might happen, this might not happen. I think the story we ended up publishing, we had sitting in our system for like 3 months because it was like, well, let's just be ready in case
it could happen.
He pulls the trigger. So look, I think it's, you know, for him, it gets him in here, gets him started on a career. And you know, obviously he wants to get to the NBA probably as soon as possible. So I think this only accelerates that for him. And we've seen other guys, especially in college basketball, do it. And, you know, will it affect what he's able to do as a freshman? Probably a little bit, but I also think this is a talented enough player. And the recent Ohio State example of this was obviously Michi Johnson a few years ago now. Michi, I would like to remind people, came in like very end of December, early January. So LJ will have the whole offseason to get ready and things like that. And I think that will be, you know, much better for him because it obviously did not work out part one of Michi Johnson at Ohio State.
They had one of those first open practices and open gyms of the summer where it was like 36 hours after LJ Smith got here. And they're like, yeah, don't make any judgments right now. He's tired. Like, we're trying to teach him how to get in the weight room. You know, he still was knocking down shots. I mean, This guy can get buckets, and he didn't really hide from that either. It's like, it was asked yesterday, like, what is it that you bring? How would you just, I think you asked him, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? He's like, buckets.
Yeah.
I do buckets.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems like a pretty good thing to bring to the table. We saw him shoot the lights out. Now, the other part of this is, if you are supposed to be going into your high school senior year and you're going to be competing against grown men in the Big Ten, one of the most talent-laden, you know, strong physical grinds that you're going to go through, you have to get that body ready. And he's had 6 weeks in the weight room, and Nate, Jake Diebor weighed in on what these what this month and a half has been like for LJ Smith.
He missed a couple weeks. Go back to flashback a year, right? They all knew they were going to get here, when they were coming, all of that stuff. So the first couple weeks for him, I think we're moving a little fast. That's one of the common things he and I talked about, is just the game was fast, the speed was fast. And I think we're starting to see it slow down for him a little bit. Getting him in here, getting him with Coach Rich, like, he had to jump in, you know, after everybody else had a couple week head start. So I've been impressed with the consistency he works at. Like, he shows up every day, he brings it. I know he's sore. He might not admit that to you guys, but I know he's sore. I know he's feeling it. We've thrown a lot at him, but he can handle it, and I think that's exciting for what's to come.
Murphy did admit that he was sore.
Yeah, which, you know, props to him. I think the transition period is tough for any guy going from high school program, regardless of what your high school program was, to major college football, basketball, whatever sport it is. I can't imagine doing it. I think this a lot with the early enrollees. Like, I think back to my senior year of high school.
I wouldn't want to.
No.
For starters.
The second half of my senior year of high school was great. Like, I'd done most of the things I needed to do. We had at Upper Arlington, we had a senior thesis. That was over. I still did, you know, go to school every day, and it wasn't like college where when you're done, you're done. But like, that's a time you're kind of giving up. But, and this is where I was going with this, like, these guys are so single focused on basketball, football, whatever it may be, right? That this is what they want to do. And I think that shows, and obviously Ohio State knows that this is a kid who's going to handle this the right way, that the dedication that he has to, like, I want to be the best basketball player I can possibly be. And if that means sacrificing a year of high school, so be it. I'm going to go, and I'm going to get this thing going.
So when you look at this combination, and you referenced it, I referenced it, everybody who was in the gym was talking about, all right, this has been 18 years. That's the stat that you're going to have to get to know. You're going to hear it all the time about Anthony Thompson and LJ Smith. At Ohio State, they've not done this on their roster, not landed two players of this caliber at the same time in almost two decades. It's one thing to sign them, then it becomes another to develop them. And then over here is like trying to figure out what is realistic for them to accomplish in year one. And it may not even be fair to compare someone who reclassified to Anthony Thompson in this case. Maybe they have to become separate timelines, and their positions aren't the same, and their contributions are probably not going to be the same. And the role that Anthony Thompson played, maybe there's a more clearly defined path and need for him than there is for LJ Smith. I don't know. I'm asking you, like, what do you think for these two guys you are actually, you would set out as something that's attainable, that you actually feel like can be accomplished.
Well, I think Anthony Thompson is a guy who you expect to come in and start, frankly. I think he's a guy who, you know, he's gone the normal path of finishing high school and all that. But this is the number 7 player in the country or so. He's a top 10 player, I think, in all of the recruiting rankings. And, you know, does that mean he is a Greg Oden, Mike Conley, one and done type? Not necessarily, but you bring those guys in to have an impact, right? So I think that's a guy, and I know in talking to coaches over there, like, they expect him to be a true player for this team. Now, he's got to get better. Jake talked about the defense, and we heard the soundbite earlier about he can cover up some stuff, but he's going to have to learn. That's going to be an adjustment for him. For LJ Smith, I would have a more tempered expectation this year, or at least, like, let's see how it starts. Like, if he starts coming off the bench and knocking down threes and, you know, even in some of these non-conference games against the smaller schools, like, if he's looking the part, great. You know, look at Amari Bynum last year, where he starts as kind of the 7th, 8th man, and it wasn't long before they realized, like, all right, this guy's good
enough. Probably should be out there.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been arguments made. Would it have been better to bring Amari off the bench because you didn't have much coming off the bench? But eventually it was just like, he's too good. He's got to play. And so LJ has that opportunity, but I do think just because of the reclassification and everything that goes along with that, like, the expectation shouldn't be as high immediately. The talent, I think, you're right, they're different positions and whatnot, but the talent, I think, is pretty close.
I think about how many times Jake Diebler has referenced Malachi Branham and Bryce Sensabaugh and the progressive incremental climb throughout the course of the year to then becoming, you know, really no doubt about it, NBA draft picks. And there's just part of me in the back of my mind, it's like, is that good or bad?
Right.
You'd love to be able to keep a talent like that and both of these guys together for 2 years, because then what would that look like? And I know I'm fast-forwarding way too far. And there's no world where Jake Diebler's like, hey, maybe slow down on your development.
Yeah.
Like, maybe don't be that impactful.
We
in
want you next year.
Because you're trying to build for two. Like, you can't. And so that, I think, is a fascinating dynamic, because of course you want Anthony Thompson to be a 5-star Carmelo Anthony type player as soon as possible, so that this version of Ohio State can go as far as possible. But this world is so complicated now, and you're not going to slow him down. They're going to give him as much freedom to do as much as he can and take Ohio State with Amari Bynum and Junie Mobley and everybody else, with Yvonne Nagovin, who has been phenomenal in the practices mm-hmm. that we saw. Like, you're not going to slow him down at the expense of this year. I'm not suggesting that. It's just the part in the back of my brain that's like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could have 2 5-stars for 2 years? Like, that'd be amazing.
Right. And it's a good problem to have, right? If we get to this point and there's conversation towards the end of the year, will he, won't he, when it comes to the NBA draft? I mean, you think back to when this program was really rolling under Thad Matta. And, like, there were guys like Greg Oden, you knew, 1 year. But even a Mike Conley, a Daquan Cook, like, it wasn't until the end of that season that it was, you know, really the NCAA tournament for Mike Conley, who's now gone on to have a 20-year NBA career. He's about to head into his 20th year. That it was like, oh, this, you might lose this guy. And again, it's a good problem to have. Now, that Ohio State team took a step back that next year, but then that kept it rolling. But then some of those guys, the Deshaun Thomases and guys like that, Evan Turners, like, they stayed multiple years. And now you've got the NIL component in it. You know, maybe if Anthony Thompson has a pretty good year, but he's not going to be a lottery pick, or he's not a sure lottery pick, can you get him to come back? Because you can,
yes,
you know, you can pay him money that would...
Guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's comparable to what he might make in the NBA. So, yeah, these are all calculations they're going to have to make. If Anthony Thompson is a lottery pick, lock, one and done, I think Ohio State had a pretty good season and you're pretty happy with what happens, and you figure out the next guy you're bringing in after that.
Also, Columbus is a pretty awesome place to live. So,
yeah,
especially on a weekend like this one, maybe we can get some nicer weather. We're going to talk about those plans that we've all got as we bring it home on the Buckeye Show, and we'll answer the fan poll next.
Over 30 years, Schumacher Homes has been building affordable custom homes throughout the Buckeye State. Experience true customization on your land, your way, without any compromises. Come visit any of our 9 Ohio model home and design studio locations to see the latest in design trends and learn about our award-winning building process, or start online at SchumacherHomes.com. You'll be surprised how affordable a custom home will be. Schumacher Homes, proud home building sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Bishop and Friends.
You can't bring that up in our house. I don't want to hear about it. Certainly my wife doesn't want to hear about it. So we're just going to act like it's not going to happen and then deal with it.
The days are long, the years are fast, right?
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Inside the body, cancer divides. But inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Still not a ton of activity going on over the weekends for those hashtag Buckeyes, but as we broke down tonight on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by CareSource, you've got Big Ten Media Days now a week and a half away. Got, 20 days until the first practice for Ohio State out there at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Tickets have been on sale. Don't know how many are left. Can't confirm that, but I know that you can grab them, and it's a great place to go hang out. You can see Murph in the flesh.
I guess. You got to find me, though. I'm not the tallest human.
Radio coverage out there for those games, and we are, what did you say we are? 55?
50 days.
50 days away from the Ohio State opener. There's other games going on this weekend, though. It is going to be a busy sports weekend. I'm fired up for it. But today's fan poll, sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, was about a game that maybe I don't care as much about, which is incorporating the third place game in the World Cup tomorrow. And the fan poll asked, would you watch a third place game in the NFL? Yes or no? Based on television ratings for bowl games in this country, I think the answer was probably overwhelmingly yes.
So for the first time in my life, this is not meant to sound like a brag, but the Rams lost in the NFC Championship game last year.
Sure.
Which meant that they would have played in said hypothetical third place game. I will tell you that for those 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, especially because they lost to the Seahawks, division rival, I wanted nothing to do with football.
Can you imagine being that close to getting to the Super Bowl? Which I guess is the same scenario here that FIFA and the World Cup has had for years. But like, how is your fan base supposed to recover from that gut punch?
Not just the fan base, the team, especially football.
Yeah,
where you know, physically you put everything into this. Not to say you did it in soccer or any other sport. They do it, like, they have a third place game in basketball in the Olympics, right? But I mean, just,
well, that's for a medal.
Yes, that's true. I do think, I saw that they are now giving out rings because we're in America and they need to give rings out to, I assume they're also giving medals for the whoever wins the World Cup. But I guess you could get a third place ring, maybe. But yeah, I think even soccer people will tell you the third place game is silly and outdated. Neither England nor France want to be in Miami tomorrow, especially in Miami with the weather the way it's been, playing in this game.
Well, in England, I mean, we're 48 hours removed from one of the most devastating losses in the history of their federation.
Yeah. Imagine Texas after losing that game to Ohio State the way they did 2 years ago with Jack Sawyer and then the Caleb Downs interception, like, all right, we're a few days, you know, 5 days from now, whatever it is, we're going to go play another game that doesn't mean anything. You're right. People would watch because it's college football.
Yeah, it's the team that beat Texas. Let's sit back and enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, but I think even, I mean, Texas fans would probably watch, but it's just.
What would we have seen? Texas and Penn State? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Penn Sark State. And James Franklin.
See if they could complete tussing. A pass to a wide receiver in that game.
I don't know if they would have. Yeah. Nate, what are your weekend plans?
I'm going to be here tomorrow, so got that for a lot of it. Okay. Follow me on social media, doing a little bit of a World Cup preview show on Sunday morning on my own, playing music from around the world. It's going to be kind of cool.
That'll be fun. I know what Murph's got on Sunday.
Yep. It's also City my Tavern birthday on Sunday.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
You saved that till now?
Yeah, look, at this point in life, I used to be really big into my birthdays. And at this point in life, it's just, you know, it's another year.
Plus, it was really nice of FIFA to schedule the World Cup final for your birthday.
It's actually going into this World Cup, you know, they expanded it to 48 teams or 40, whatever it is. 40.
How do you feel like it's gone?
I think it's been great, honestly. Now, I'm not into expanding it beyond this. I think there's teams like Cape Verde and whatnot that have gone on these magical runs that have made it great. That's not to say it happens every time. Like this, you could go into the next World Cup and it could be those smaller teams could just lay eggs and some of these games are awful. But I think it's been good. Before the tournament, when I didn't think it was going to be great, that was like the one thing. I was like, well, at least the World Cup final is on my birthday. So, but yeah, 2 years ago, I proposed to Sarah on my birthday. And we used that to kind of cover up that I was turning 35. And now you can do the math 2 years later. Like, you know, it'll be fun to watch the game on Sunday. But it can paper over the fact that I'm just getting older. And
that's crazy. Whatnot. I mean, I've known you for 15 years. You're still 25 in my mind.
I know. Your child is still 4 in my mind. So.
Yeah, she turned 9 when we were on that Alaskan cruise a couple weeks ago. That's hard to believe.
When she was out in, what was it, the national championship
national
game when
championship
they came?
Yeah.
Yeah, when she came into the media room, I had to double check you hadn't kidnapped another child.
Fully credentialed because yeah. she's working hard there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I was hoping that Allie and I would have one more night. She'd get to have the full experience up at camp. But you know, I haven't seen her in a full week because I left the 2 days before she departed for camp because I was out there in Wyoming to help my folks with and pay my respects to my grandmother. So I haven't seen her now in a full week. That might be the longest that I've gone ever. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard for me to even remember. I'm getting so old. But so I'm kind of glad that they were able to go up and get that. Allie did go get her during the show. So A, I don't have to make that drive.
There you go.
Up an hour north. That's nice. B, I don't have to make that drive tomorrow. Even better, because, you know, if we did not have Liberty for the evening, I don't know how early I'd want to get up tomorrow. Go take full advantage of that. But the stories that she's going to have from this week of camp, I don't know if I'm prepared for it. You've seen Liberty. You've interacted with Liberty. People who have heard about her social presence, whether they've seen her on some of the podcasts or heard about what she did on the cruise and how popular she became with the entertainment folks there. I don't know what she did, but I'm going to hear like 3 hours of stories and I can't wait.
There you go.
I did get a picture on Wednesday, I think, because we didn't have communication. She doesn't have a phone. I don't know if you're even allowed to have phones up there. They're like, you can sign up for this service and like they might be able to text you for $1 or whatever it is. I'm like, I think we're okay.
No, just go off phone.
We don't need to check on every single thing she does, but her best friend that went up there to camp with her, her parents got it. And so there was a photo and her friend Amelia was off to the side of the stage. Liberty, dead center at the stage. So I don't know if she was singing, if she was dancing, if she was acting, probably some combination of all three of those things. But I got to know, you know, what this skit was, what role she was playing, because I could tell that was her dream.
Yeah. Sounds like you're in for a good weekend of stories. Because I imagine there'll be like the first series of them.
Yes.
And then tomorrow there'll be more that come up and Sunday there'll be more that come up. And
I can't wait. That'll be a full Saturday for me to hear about that. And then we've got the Open Championship wrapping up this weekend. That's going to be fun. maybe more penalties for Bryson DeChambeau will pop up. Who knows what can happen there? We got an F1 race in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Building up to the World Cup final, Spain and Argentina. Messi trying to make sure there's never any question whatsoever about the GOAT. Hey, had a great time with you guys, Nate. Thanks for running the boards back there, Murph. Always fun to hang out with you on a Friday. The Reds are going to come up 10 minutes after Westwood. They'll be on here with their game at Colorado. Have a great weekend, folks.